So in order to quantify this journey in my life from Phoenix to San Diego, the Buddhists talk about nirvana or supreme enlightenment, but you talk about the fact that there is no end, that it just continues to grow in contrast and so on. How can I set a goal if there is no end?
Well, you could set your goal to be eternal, and then you'd be right on track. You see, the reason that you come forth into this body to begin with is because you are wanting a framework in which to focus. Focusing is delicious. Focusing is what it is all about. Feel the difference between just looking out at a nebulous something. Maybe it's the sky, maybe it's the ocean. And it can be satisfying to a certain extent, but aren't you happy when a boat goes by that you can look at, or a star, or a comet, or something that causes you to focus? And so, in a similar way, we are all infinite intelligence, but it is the specifics of that which we focus upon that causes the new to be born. And then life is about that delicious relationship between the new being born and our bringing ourselves into alignment with it. In other words, if we are not molding the clay, then our reason for existing ceases to be meaningful or satisfying, you see. And so that we think that the meaning of life, what it is really all about, is so here we are, magnificent beings who are leading edge creators, we're talking about the whole of all of us, still yet wanting to expand into the nitty gritty of the earth time space reality for the purpose of being able to focus. In the beginning, as we were visiting through Esther in this way, we talked about the physical you and the inner being you, because we were wanting to awaken you. Most people were not aware of the broadness of who they are. They wanted to believe that there was something before this life and that there would be something after this life, but for most people it is intangible. And the wild goose chases that you've gone on as humanity and the stories that you tell, all of these, the religions that come and go and the religious wars that come and go, all of them are about you trying to find how you fit into all of this. You cannot deny that you exist because you look around and here you are, but trying to make sense of who you are and why you are here is something that has been going on for a very long time. So we just want to give it to you in the simplest version we can. You are that which we are, and we are that which you are, but we have a different perspective of that which all of it is, and you have a different perspective of that which all of it is, and the combination of these two perspectives is what makes it move forward in the wonderful way that it does. Sometimes people say, well, Abraham, have you ever been physical, or why do you choose only to be non-physical? And we say, when you think about it, non-physical, whatever the non-physical focus is, must eventually become more than what is non-physical. In other words, first there is thought, then there is thought form, then there is manifestation. So the manifestations that you see around you, the bodies, the things, the earth itself, this physical stuff in this physical universe is the not end, because there is no end, but end product of non-physical energy that is focused. And so in the same way that you can stand in your physical body and imagine something and bring it into fruition, non-physical has been in its non-physical body, so to speak, and has envisioned that which you call planet Earth into the physical manifestation. But you cannot and must not separate this furthest extension of that which is God or that which is Source from the manifestation itself. That's the thing that we see man doing so much in separation. He wants to claim himself as man unworthy and insignificant, while he counts God as the creator as more, when it is not possible to separate the creator from the creation, because the creator is the creator of self. So everything that you see around you is the manifestation of that which man would call God. All this physical stuff is the manifestation of the mind of Source, you see.
Beautiful.
So then you say, well, what part do I play? And we say, well, the part that you play is you are out here on the leading edge. You get to explore the contrast and you get to fix the toilet. You get to explore the contrast, and you get to watch the war, and you get to dream for an improved life. But once the dream is born within you, you must give your attention to the dream if you are to experience the satisfaction of your dream. But whether you in your body, in this physical form, experience the benefit of manifesting or living the dream that you have launched, still you have launched the dream, and the God part of you, the expanding universe part of you, benefited by the dream that you dreamed, even if you never found a way to let it in for yourself. Future generations will experience the benefit of dreams that this generation dreams, even though many in this generation will not find vibrational alignment with their own dream because they keep beating the drum of what's wrong as they wish for something better. But then the new ones are born less resistant, and they allow themselves. Esther is visiting with her computer man from San Antonio. In fact, he flew to Oregon to assist her in getting the satellite dishes working in the way that they are supposed to for internet. And he is a teacher. He teaches little children computer. And he says by the time they're 7 or 8, they can have level 1 training, which most computer experts out there that Esther calls have not yet achieved. As Esther is talking to him about things she's wanting to set up for her office, and she's feeling a real little reluctant about whether the girls are up for it, he will say, "Esther, I have 6-year-olds doing this. I think I can teach the girls at the office to do this." In other words, the little ones that are coming into this physical environment are coming resistant-free. They're up to speed. They're cable ready. They're ready for whatever it is, you see, where many of you have been saying, "I can't do it," for so long that you can't do it, even though it is certainly doable. Yes.
Thank you very, very, very much.